Welcome. It's Thursday night and time for Psychic Viewpoint on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com. Spirituality, psychic development, love and relationships, manifesting prosperity, and more. You now have access to the world's most renowned spiritual teachers, healers, psychics, and mediums as you join us during this transpersonal collective experience. Sponsored by PsychicAccess.com, where all psychics have been interviewed, verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you the highest quality of quality service. And now, on with this week's show.
Welcome, I am Steven, and you're listening to Psychic Viewpoint, sponsored by PsychicAccess.com. I am a professional tarot reader and analytic astrologer, and you can find me over at PsychicAccess.com. Tonight, I'm in a fabulous mood because of the guest and the show topic, tarot and astrology. If they say knowledge is power, then for the next hour, you're definitely going to be filled up with a lot of knowledge that you'll be able to take with you into your own tarot readings. But before we get to that, I would like to introduce some of PsychicAccess.com's most talented psychics who are with me tonight. Maureen, how are you doing?
I'm doing okay. Thank you so much for asking,
Stephen. I am so glad to hear that. We're glad to have you here with us. Can you talk a little bit about what you do over at PsychicAccess.com?
Yes, and also I do the same thing on my own at home by myself. I'm a psychic intuitive empath, and I utilize tarot as my main tool, and I feel that tarot is a symbolic record of human experience. I particularly enjoy helping people with spiritual development, but I'm well versed in relationships and business ventures is one of my targeted ones I really like. And I have had a lot of I feel that I've helped a lot of clients, and they have contacted me back and said, yeah, that really helped me steer away from the negative into the positive. And so I'm really happy about that.
You definitely help a lot of people. If you want to get a reading from Maureen, one of our most popular psychics at PsychicAccess.com, head on over to PsychicAccess.com and check her out. I also have with us here tonight, Steve. How are you doing?
Extremely well, thank you, Stephen. I'm very much looking forward to Aileen sharing her knowledge with us.
So am I. I'm really excited about tonight's show. But before we get to Aileen McRae, why don't you tell us a little bit about what you do over at PsychicAccess.com?
Absolutely. I'm a psychic medium, Stephen, which means that I can communicate with people that have passed to spirit. It's something I very much enjoy doing because it's so incredibly healing to reassure somebody that their loved one is doing well and continues to exist in spirit. And I think also because we're so obsessed with what's going on in life before our passing, or in just our lifetime in general, so we're obsessed about activity between birth and death. But as a species, really, we don't have a great understanding of the afterlife. So working with mediumship really helps people to understand that life goes on after this one. And, you know, I'm also very passionate about astrology, using astrology to explore the meaning of life, the purpose of a person's path in the world, and also to look at mundane astrology, which is the study of world events and world dynamics. Lots of fun.
Absolutely, it's lots of fun. It's definitely cemented our professional relationship and friendship, and we're definitely glad to have you here tonight. Why don't you tell us a little bit about your guest?
Well, Aileen is a wonderful, wonderful person. She began reading tarot in 1971, and she was recognized as a certified tarot card reader by the American Tarot Association back in 1999. And she's given a lot of readings, but she has an extremely thorough understanding of tarot and astrology, alchemy, because she's a member of the Church of Light. And she's going to share her expertise about Hermeticism, as well as tarot, astrology, numerology, you name it. She has an incredible amount of knowledge to share with us.
Oh, well, lovely. Well, why don't you bring her out here and let's have an interview.
I will do. Aileen, how are you doing this evening?
And I am doing fine, Stephen. It's good to hear your voice, and hello to your colleagues.
Thank you. We're really excited to have you with us, Aline. It's great to hear your voice as well, as always. And we've got a lot of questions for you, so I hope you're well rested.
Okay. Well, listen, let's start out by getting the pronunciation of my name. It is Alan, like a man.
Alan, it's really funny, you can call me Alan.
I
haven't spent time with you in New Mexico, but I always pronounce your name that way. It's embarrassing. Why don't you call me Bob?
Okay.
You can call me Bob for the whole radio show, Alan.
All right. No, it's fine. It's fine, Stephen.
Well, I want to ask you first, Alan, about the origins of tarot. I've read a lot about the origins of tarot, but it's still just so steeped in mystery. Can you share with us your view on the origins and the source of this incredible tool?
Yeah, well, it's no wonder that it's a mystery to you, because it's a mystery to everyone. You know, there are about a million different tarot books, tarot decks, I should say, on the market, literally a million. And with every tarot deck, there is a little booklet that claims that tarot comes from someplace or other, you know, ancient China, ancient India, you know, the Renaissance era, you know, just so many places. But what Egyptian tarot espouses, and it's they claim to be the oldest, or at least one of the oldest tarot traditions in history, and it originated according to oral tradition. And I say oral tradition because, you know, the paperwork's a little sketchy on this, but it goes back some 4,000 years ago in Egypt. And it is said to be part of the Corpus Hermeticum, or Hermetica. And Hermeticism is a set of philosophical and religious beliefs that are based primarily upon the writings attributed to Hermes Trismegistus, who was supposedly a wise sage, an Egyptian priest, and some say a god, and who is commonly seen as the Egyptian god Thoth. And these beliefs have influenced Western magic traditions. And I would say that the three tenets of Hermeticism are that the universe is mental and held in the mind of the all. And when I say the all, I mean all in caps. The all, meaning perhaps the absolute, and that everything and everybody in the universe is part of the all, and the differences between the physical, astral, and spiritual are vibrational, and as a medium, which I heard you discuss earlier, Stephen, you're probably well aware of that. Who was Hermes Trismegistus? Well, he's been likened to Thoth and Enoch, and the Greek god Hermes, and all of them were communicators with the divine, guiding souls in the afterlife, and deliverers of wisdom, writing, astrology, alchemy, and magic, spells to magically protect objects is the origin of the term hermetically sealed. The writings of Hermes are known as Hermetica, and the Hermetic tradition refers to alchemy, magic, and astrology. Some of the famous initiates are Pythagoras, Plato, Sir Francis Bacon, Isaac Newton, who you may remember from my last talk, is known for being a scientist, but actually he had more writings about Hermeticism and interpreting the Bible than anything else. Benjamin Franklin was another initiate of Hermeticism. Eliphas Levi, Aleister Crowley. the Thoth deck, the Golden Dawn deck, the Hermetic deck, the Ibis Tarot, Nap Hall deck, Brotherhood of Light deck, which is the one I'll be talking about tonight, and the Universal Light deck are all Hermetic in origin. Now, the word Ta means path, according to our tradition, and Ro means royal. So Tarot means royal path. Moses was a member of the royal family and attended the mystery schools as such. And according to our legend, the initiations were held at the Great Pyramid. And then the initiate was brought to the Sphinx, the subterranean chamber in the Sphinx, to learn the admonitions, which corresponded to the major arcanum. And the interesting thing about this is that recently, I would say within the last several years, Dr. Robert Schock, the scientist who redated the Sphinx to much older than previously thought, has actually discovered a subterranean chamber, rectangular in shape, below the left paw of the Sphinx. And he is endeavoring now to get permission to explore that chamber. He thinks it might be flooded at this point, but we'll keep our fingers crossed now that the politics and the government has changed over. I'm hearing clicking noises, Stephen. Are you still with me?
Yes, I am still here, Ellen. Don't worry about that. It doesn't. It is a little bit distracting, but it doesn't actually transfer to the audio recording. So don't worry about it.
But let me carry on just a little bit longer. The bath reliefs in the subterranean chamber of the Sphinx do relate to the major arcanum, according to our tradition. And so that's basically the history as far as the Church of Light is concerned, and as far as C.C. Zane, who put all this information, is concerned. And you can read about that in a book called The Sacred Tarot by C.C. Zane.
It's the Bible of Tarot.
It is the Bible of Tarot. I might add also, Stephen, that Thoth might have even come from Atlantis. You know, now with the catastrophe theories that are swarming around about our much more ancient history as human beings than we've previously thought, it's thought that Thoth, as well as other members of Atlantis, knowing that their culture was to perish, set out missionaries, if you will, or emissaries, maybe is a better word, to disseminate the wisdom, this ancient wisdom, and to store it and keep it secret and pass it along. And that's why it's surmised that alchemy sort of sprang up all over the world at the same time, because it was sort of discovered, or it was presented to earthlings at large, shall we say.
And can I ask you, Alan, for our listeners, I think a question that does come up is this one. Is alchemy real?
Well, I think it's very real. It was certainly practiced in the medieval times, and supposedly there were quite a few alchemists that really did turn base metals into gold, including Sir Isaac Newton, who actually put in his notes that he had done it, and he said something rather quaint like, I reckon this is the point, but, you know, The most important point about alchemy is not, of course, transmuting base metals into gold, mm-hmm. although that was certainly important to people. The point of alchemy was to transmute the spirit or the character from our animal instincts, our base animal instincts, to our divine instincts, is because man is actually, you know, we are an animal. We are born in animal skin, and we have animal instincts that keep us alive. And we have, you know, the old reptilian brain that pops its ugly head every once in a while. But the point is, of alchemy, is to get our nasty beast under control, and to you know, and to keep our emotions in check, and to generate goodwill, and to touch the hearts of everyone that we come in contact with, and to be a force for good, and certainly not a force for evil. And I think that tarot certainly it demonstrates that philosophy. It's and our deck in particular is. What's wonderful about the Egyptian tradition, as opposed to the traditional way of reading tarot, is that our deck is completely astrologically assigned. Every card in the deck has an astrological correspondence to it. So the more you know about astrology, the easier it is to read the Brotherhood of Light deck. And that's very helpful, of course. When you're reading traditional decks, a lot of, I think intuition and even psychic, to pull on your psychic abilities is very helpful. But with the Brotherhood of Light deck, certainly the more psychic and intuitive you are, the better. But if you're not, you can rely upon an enormous amount of symbolism in the cards, and also in the astrological glyphs that are found on each card.
That's wonderful, Alan. I love the fact that you can look at the card, see the illustration, the image, but also have that reminder of the astrological correspondence, because many people are using the tarot but not appreciating the astrological correspondences. And I think that, as you said, it's you can use intuition and connect with spirit when you're using cards, when you're reading. But it is great to also have the astrological insight. What's the connection then between the astrological symbols, the cards in the major arcana, for example, and alchemy? Is there a connection?
Well, there are certain, you know, alchemy, there are two forms of alchemy. There is, one of them is, and it's a word I always find difficult to pronounce, I think it's spagyrics. And it's it has to do with herbal medicine, and the other one is metallurgy. And according to the Brotherhood of Light lessons, we go with the metallurgy, the sacred metals, and they correspond to the astrological planets. They call the sacred metals the terrestrial metals. The terrestrial planets, as opposed to the visible planets in the sky. The metals become terrestrial planets. And so, for example, since we have the major arcanum are represented by the planets and astrological signs of, you know, the signs of the zodiac, we have some cards in the major arcanum that relate directly to a sacred metal. For example, the base metal ore is ruled by Saturn, and it symbolizes the urges of self-interest or selfishness, the urges of selfishness. And we have a card in the deck called the Black Magician, or Satan, or the Devil in other decks. And that card is not necessarily ruled by Saturn in other decks, but it's ruled by Saturn in our deck. And that's the beauty of the correspondences. Let's see, like, you know, Tim, I could go through them all for you if you'd like.
That would be wonderful, Alan, because you read our minds, because we were talking just a little while ago about how wonderful it would be to talk about the cards in the major arcana. And it would be just wonderful to get your view on the cards starting at the beginning. If you'd like to do that, we would love it.
Okay, that's terrific. I'd love to go through them with you.
Before you do, Alan, can I ask you just to explain to our listeners why the cards are in that sequence, or what they signify to a person, a human being?
Well, they signify the hero's journey, and it's sometimes called the fool's journey, and that's why the fool in the deck is usually considered, it's usually at the top with three rows of seven following below, and it's considered the number zero. In the Egyptian deck, the fool isn't only number zero, it's 0 and 22. It has two numbers, and it comes at the end of the cycle. But the idea is that we're born, with certain capabilities, and we work the best we can with them, and we try throughout our lives to develop our characters and to develop our astral bodies and our spiritual bodies along the way. So it's a journey. And as far as the numerical sequence is concerned, there are numerical correspondences, of course, but they get pretty complicated after 10. Because after 10, you can start rearranging the numbers in different ways, or you can create the numbers by adding the individual numbers separately, and it gets rather complicated. Now, the Sacred Tarot is a wonderful book for explaining the numbers, and also, there's another book called Blending Astrology, Numerology, and Tarot by Doris Chase Doan.
A brilliant book.
Yeah.
Another Bible that emanated from Church of Light.
Yeah, it's wonderful. And I use Blending Astrology, Numerology, and Tarot a lot. It's a very handy little book to have around if you're reading the major arcanum. So I will try to get through these as quickly as I can. There's a lot to talk about, of course, and what I am about to go through with the majors is just barely scratching the surface. The first arcanum is the Magus, also called the Magician. I spoke for an hour and a half on this one card
a couple of years ago.
But I will say that to alchemists, the first matter is a primordial, unorganized state of energy, and it exists in all substances, and it exists in an unmanifested state between energy and matter. And in quantum theory speak, that means wavelength and particle, which are both affected on the subatomic level by just observing them, which makes the study of quantum physics so difficult. So when we keep this in mind, because just thinking about these subatomic particles, we understand that Major Arcanum 1 is probably the most powerful, the most magical card in the deck. It is the first step to spirit. It's number one, and number one in this case symbolizes the wholeness or unity with the absolute or the all. And the key the key idea with the magician is the power of the mind. And with the power of the mind, we can create or co-create our lives with the great divine. Magician contains the word magi in it. We're all familiar with magi from the Bible. They were the astrologers that came to visit Jesus. And the word magi and magus and even imagination, they all come from the same word, a Chaldean word meaning power of the mind. He is the beginning. He's the wholeness and the oneness, the archetypal and the image of the creator, if you will, manifesting from the inner planes. So when we think of the magician, we think of consciousness, being conscious, and making conscious plans in our lives, having an idea. Nothing manifests without having the idea first. And nothing, if you look around your bookcases, your books, your computer, everybody had a thought first. And that is the spark of creation, if you will. When we go to Major Arcanum 2, we immediately enter the realm of duality, which is certainly where we are on this planet. We live in a reality of duality. Everything has its opposite. And that's what is needed, because the opposites in their creating agitation with each other creates the need for solution in advance. It's like, you know, the agitation of sand in a pearl, in a oyster creates the pearl. And whereas the magician is standing, and he's quite masculine, the veiled Isis, or high priestess, is sitting, and she is receptive. And when we think of veiled Isis, we think of the subconscious mind. And although she's ruled by Virgo, and by the way, I meant to say that the magician is ruled by Mercury, which is all about mental, as you know, it's all about the mental capabilities. It's about communication and thinking and thought processes and that sort of thing. And veiled Isis is ruled by Virgo, which is also ruled by Mercury, but she also has this subconscious going for her.
Is she receptive, whereas she's passive, yes, receptive, whereas the magician is active. Is that correct?
Yes. She is reflective. She's about our memories and our subconscious mind. She's about dreaming. And, you know, the Egyptians were really keen on lucid dreaming. I don't know if you know that, but they considered lucid dreaming sort of the gateway to the afterlife. And they felt that if you could control your dreams, you could keep your consciousness in the afterlife. So I'm not sure if you want me to give you keywords for these cards or not.
That would be lovely, if you wouldn't mind.
Oh, you want the keywords. Okay. Well, then I'll go back to the magician and say that the keywords for him are, you know, thought, planning, will, dexterity, creativity, imagination. He's sometimes called a trickster and an artisan, although not too much in the Egyptian tradition. He's all about reason, logic, logos, and actually, actually intuition in some level. He's more mental than intuitive, but Veiled Isis is more intuitive than mental, but they're both using the same capacity. It's like we split in two in our involution to Earth. We were born, you know, both masculine and feminine, but we have to split in two, and that's part of the dual nature of living here and our experience. So, you know, I would say that, for Veiled Isis, it would be all about being receptive, being a patient, being quiet, being still, using the memory, unconscious mind, being calm, not taking action, but digesting those sorts of reflective, passive keywords. In our particular deck, she's ruled by Virgo. Science comes into play, analysis, labor, love of small pets. You see how these all sort of, when you look at that glyph, it opens up a whole new gateway of possible meanings to the deck. And one thing I'd like to say about keywords is that they're very elusive. You have to, as a reader, you have to sort of develop a relationship with your major arcanum. They mean different things to different people. There are no absolutes involved with tarot, and I was very disturbed to learn this when I first started reading. I just wanted a list of words. And that was that. And yes, you can get started with a list of words, but as you go along and you practice reading, you'll realize that there are many, many ways to interpret these cards. The main idea is to see how they fall in the question and to listen very carefully to your querent and to try to make some connections. The third major arcanum is Isis Unveiled. She's often called the Empress. In Isis Veiled, she has the moon on her head, and she's often related to the Blessed Virgin Mary, if you will. She's a virgin. And in the Isis Unveiled, the moon is at her feet. And here she is, the Blessed Virgin Mary, as a mother. And she is pregnant in most decks. And so the key words are marriage or action. And her number is 3 because 1 and 2 have gotten together to make 3. So now there's a third, there's an infant involved, and the infant is in her belly, if you will. So another key word might be gestation for her. Where should I go with this? I wanted to just say something very interesting about this card. She holds in our deck, and I think in most decks, she holds a wand that has a globe on the top of it. I like to think of it as the old As the World Turns, you know, symbol. And I think the spiritual message of this card particularly is how we are constantly co-creating our lives. And as a result, we need constantly to keep our thoughts and actions as pure as we can, because we are creating just as quickly as a pregnancy happens. You know, it happens in a second. Every second we're creating something. So the idea is to keep your heart full of love so that your creations are blessed things and not things that are going to come around and give you trouble in the end. Fruitfulness, birth, abundance, action. These are all words for Isis Unveiled. And then the sovereign
In the Rider-Waite deck, right?
Pardon me?
She is the Empress in the Rider-Waite deck.
Yeah, she is the Empress, exactly. I'm glad you reminded me. Because all of these cards have different names. The next card is the Emperor in our deck. He's called, in the Brotherhood of Light deck, he's called the Sovereign. This is number four, and here we have 1, 2, 3, and 4 are called the numbers of magic. You know, this is the numbers of how to manifest something. First, you think about it, and then you sit. You have the idea consciously, and then you live with that idea. You know how we. Sort of, I know I'm an artist, so I'll think, oh, I want to paint this, but then I'll dream about painting it, or, you know, my subconscious mind will work on it for a while, and all of a sudden I'll know how to do it. And then you birth the thing, or you gestate it, and it has to be around for a while working on it, and then finally it manifests, and manifestation is number four. It's called, another key word is to realize it, or it becomes real. In Egyptian tarot, the sovereign is ruled by Scorpio. Scorpio rules the male sex organs and sex drive. So further key words for this card are desire, magnetism, creative energies, control over passions. You know, he's all about sex, and so whenever I see that card, I see that's the first thing that comes to my mind is that there's some kind of sexual issue involved or some kind of passion involved, and of course his cohort in the deck is the Empress and the Emperor, and they are creating you know, this wonderful new being. And like the magician, the sovereign is masculine. He poses with his right hand pointing up and his left hand pointing down, and he has a lot of power. And with power comes to mind two quotes, absolute power corrupts absolutely. With power comes responsibility. So when we see this card, we also think of that masculine energy that really has to be directed. Scorpio, as you know, has sort of a, you know, a spiritual nature, and it has kind of a dark nature if it's not kept in check.
Yeah, I always remember that. Alan, we're going to take a quick commercial break, if you don't mind. So when we come back in just a moment, we'll carry on with the cards. It's extremely interesting.
Oh, good. Well, I hope so.
Okay, thank you. We'll take our break just now.
A new era in psychic services has begun. PsychicAccess.com. You can connect with our psychic advisors by telephone or chat 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. All of our psychic advisors are interviewed, fully verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you quality service. We're living in some very troubled times right now. More and more, the world's problems are affecting us on a personal level. You don't have to deal with this alone. Our highly accurate psychics, caring advisors, and talented mediums can help with situations you are currently experiencing and can let you know what the future may hold for you. All new customers get a free 6-minute reading. All you have to do is register. Why not visit us now and get a free reading at psychicaccess.com?
Well, welcome back, Alan. This is very, very interesting, and it's just wonderful that you're taking us through the major arcana, because as I said, that's something we've been talking about behind the scenes for some time. We really wanted to do that. We've got about 15 minutes, Aline, and I know that the cards are really complex, And I'd love to hear you speak for an hour and a half about each card, because I know I'd learn so much. But we were talking about the Emperor and Scorpio before we took the break. So feel free to pick up where you left off.
Okay. Number six, Arcanum 6 is Temptation. We have to do number 5 first, and that is the Hierophant. It's often called the Pope. And the key words here are religion or law, and it is ruled by Jupiter. And I would say that in most traditions, this is not considered a lucky card, but in the Egyptian tarot it is, because the number 5 represents the head and the limbs of a human form. The Hierophant was the high priest who overlooked the initiation rites of the Egyptian mystery schools. And because it's ruled by Jupiter, it's all about charity, charitable acts, and abundance, joyfulness. Religion and law are two things in our life that do give us direction, not always the perfect direction. And we do get hung up on our isms, which is probably the darker side of this card. I would like to point out at this point that we don't do reversals in the Brotherhood of Light deck when they are reversed. It just means that the meaning isn't quite fulfilled. Moving on to number 6, Temptation, Dilemma, Choice. Most of the time it's called the Lovers. This card is ruled by Venus, and most people don't know that the venereal diseases are named after Venus. this card represents a temptation. Usually it relates to lovers or doing something that we know isn't really right for us, but it just feels so good. We want to do it. And we often make choices in our lives that have serious consequences. Many of our choices don't, but some can really affect people for a lifetime. So that's what this card is all about. It's about choice, and it's about discernment as to whether this choice is really right or if it's just easy. So we have to, this card comes up, we have to consider that. The Venus has to do with the venial system, which is all about peer pressure. Lots of times people make decisions under peer pressure that are not the best for us. The next card, and stop me if you have any questions, because I'm going to just keep going through these. There's 22 of them, so there's a lot to cover. The next one is 7, the Conqueror, Chariot, and Victory. It's called the Chariot in most cards. Victory is definitely the key word. And this symbolizes or actually shows a young man who is ready to move on. He has experienced degree of life, and he's made the right choices. He has rules and guidelines from law and religion, and he hasn't been tempted, and so he's ready to go on and test his mettle, so to speak, and move on. It's the last deck of the first row of the major arcanum, so the next row supposedly gets us into the astral cards. The Conqueror is, there's always usually a black horse and a white horse, and it just means that there will be a move involved, sometimes a physical move, sometimes a mental move, and things will, of course, will not always be easy, that there will be some rough times ahead. Let's see, Arcanum 8, the Balance, also called Justice and Equilibrium. Justice and Equilibrium would be the key words here. And this card is symbolized by Maat. And Maat was the goddess that, created order out of chaos. It was Pharaoh's job to pray to Maat so that his nation wouldn't fall into, plague and starvation and warfare. It's ruled by Capricorn. You would think it'd be ruled by Libra because of the scales. It is in other decks, but in our deck it's ruled by Capricorn because this has to do with justice and legal situations. So when I see this card, I wonder if there's a lawsuit pending or they're involved with attorneys or some legal action. The Sage comes up next, and it is Arcanum 9. 9 is a very powerful number. It is very powerful in mathematics. It's very magical number, casting out nines. I don't know if you remember that system in grammar school, but it was a way to check to see if your answers were right. And the key words for this major arcanum is wisdom and prudence. And this fellow is the only one in the major arcanum that shows a little sign of aging. He has a couple of wrinkles on him. And so, you know, us old folks, we can take some kind of pride in having lived as long as we have. Because
Maybe they didn't have Botox then, Alan.
Pardon me?
Maybe they didn't have Botox at that time. He's also the hermit, though, isn't he? So he probably wouldn't be bothered about Botox because he doesn't go out so much.
Mm-hmm. That's right. So I like in the Universal White deck, and I don't know if you're familiar with the images there, but the Fool is standing on a precipice about to fall off. And in the Hermit card, he is standing on the same precipice holding a lamp over because to show the Fool's way back up the hill. And I really like that.
I didn't realize that was specifically associated to showing the Fool the way back up the hill.
And the Fool, yeah, and showing the Fool the way back up the hill, because, of course, we all fall off the hill many times. And he is shedding a little light on how we recover from our injuries and start over again and learn from our experience and assimilate what we've learned from what chaos has come to us. And if we can learn from our experiences, then it's worth having the experiences. If we make the same mistake over and over again, then it's not helping anybody. And I think that's probably the key, the secret to the Hermit or the Sage, as he's sometimes called. Now, the Wheel of Fortune is Arcanum 10, and this one means it's ruled by Uranus, which is the planet of upheaval, as you know. And it means sudden change. Now, one of your colleagues asked about the number 10, which is a minor arcanum relating to this major arcanum. And all it means when it's reversed is that it's not happening as quickly. That's all it means. Sudden change, either for good or for unfortunate incidents. And it's usually brought about by someone new in the querent's life. So when this card comes up in a reading, you know that there's going to be a sudden change of heart, change of mind, change of attitude, change of something that will be brought on by this new person. And you can usually find a court card somewhere that will describe that new person. The next one is the Enchantress, also called the Force or Strength, and she is number 11. This is a very interesting card. This is the number 1, which is the card of the Magus, or the Magician, representing will, and the number 10, which is the next next level up, or the next octave up, to form the number 11. Okay, and it has to do with force, spiritual power or fortitude, strength of character, and also the force of nature, which, you know, we're constantly battling with all the time. And that's why she's shown there closing the mouth of the lion, because she is trying to control the animal in her. She is enchanting the animal within her and probably within others. Now, there's a dark side to this card most people don't know about, but in the Church of Light, we call this the 10% solution card. And we do this because it is ruled by Neptune. And what do we know about Neptune as a planet? It's kind of foggy, ethereal. It's not, you know, it's not quite clear. And it's in the depths of, you know, the murky waters. It's murky. So the 10% solution card could also mean that the querent is running up against someone who's not being quite honest with them. You know, like a used car salesman that's not giving them the best deal that he possibly can. Someone that's lying to them. And I told you with the magus or the magician that he, one of his key words is trickster. Well, it doesn't really show up in the magus so much as it shows up in this card, the enchantress. Sort of the female side of the magus. And the next card is the martyr. This is our major arcanum 12. I'm not going to talk about the numbers so much now because they get a little complicated. But this is a very, very sad card. And the name in of itself, a hanged man, martyr, sacrifice, expiation, these are all very sad words, slavery, or being enslaved. And, of course, in the old days, it meant slavery. But in today, you know, it would be more like a habit, substance abuse can enslave, or a belief system can enslave, gang members can enslave. It could be a physical imprisonment like prison or an insane asylum of some kind or a hospital. All of those are forms of enslavement. Marriages oftentimes are very, powerful forms of enslavery. So when we see this card turns, when it's hung up like that, it can be also hung up on an idea because Pisces, this card is ruled by Pisces, is all about believing. I believe, right? And so we can get very hung up on our ideas. Sometimes when we lose our faith, we have trouble. It's a very disturbing time when people lose their faith. Now, this is the only card in our major arcanum that is has a meaning. It's not the only one. There's two. There's this one and the Fool. They have different meanings, whether they're right side up or reversed. And when the hangman is reversed, he is getting mana from heaven. So in other words, the money is falling into his hands or the blood is pouring back into his veins. And this shows that through martyrdom or to sacrifice, you're gaining much from it, like joining the Peace Corps, for example. Or, you know, giving up your a kidney for your loved one, that sort of thing. Your sacrifice is bringing hope and faith and healing to someone else and to yourself as well. The next card, the Reaper, Death, Transformation, numbers 13. This card is very interesting in terms of alchemy, because it's ruled by Aries, and that was the time of the year when all alchemical processes were started in the springtime, Aries. And the first process was burning or calcification, you know, of the matter. And of course, on the Death or Transformation card, we see a skeleton, and we see him reaping, usually heads and feet. And this card is not about death. It only is, of course, you would never, ever read it like it was death, even though you might suspect it is. it's always read as transformation or the depth of a chapter in a person's life, or maybe a relationship, or maybe an attitude, or, you know, the death of a friendship, or termination at work, that sort of thing. And, of course, we know that nothing new can happen in life unless we get rid of the old. And so I like to think of the Grim Reaper as the Grim Raker. He's raking up the dead leaves so that the new growth... Yeah.
That's a great way of looking at it, Alan. So he's allowing new growth. Well, Alan, we're out of time, I'm afraid, but it has been wonderful to have you with us. And I think that that's a great card to end on, because I think that many people misunderstand that card. So the message about that one is extremely important.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think the next time I come on, if I'm invited, you know, we can ask about very specific, or talk about very specific cards that people have questions about. And, you know, because they are so complicated and deep, these cards.
I know. But it's been, your overview has been incredibly insightful, Alan. And we will direct our listeners to your website, which is an incredibly good resource for understanding the cards. I want to thank you for joining us again, Alan. It's been absolutely wonderful to have you here.
Well, thank you so much, Stephen. It's been my pleasure. And, you know, if you have any questions at all, you can always contact me. You have my email.
And I will look forward to seeing you in New Mexico next year.
Oh, okay, great. Okay. All right, well, we'll see you then.
Thank you, Alan. It's wonderful to have you with us.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Stephen.
All the best.
Bye.
Well, thank you. Well, Stephen, did you enjoy that? I know that you love the Egyptian tarot deck.
Absolutely, I enjoyed it. Alan McRae is a tarot reader without peer. She's absolutely extremely talented, and she provided some foundational texts via her website, letstalktarot.wordpress.com, that were vital to me when I was beginning to learn this unique, innovative system. But you know what? Before we actually, because I know we could get lost talking about this deck and about Alan McRae in general. Before we get to that, though, I would like to take a moment to make a few announcements. We want you to stay tuned for the second hour of the show. We are far from done here. You still have an hour to get your free on-air reading with our gifted psychics. We're going to announce that call-in number in a few minutes, so have your pen and paper handy. If you couldn't catch Maureen's show last week on Gratitude and Beyond, you'll be happy to learn that you can find a recorded archive link as well as archives of all previous shows on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com under the Archives tab. Never miss your favorite psychic radio show ever again. It's all there for posterity forever. I strongly urge you to check that out. Please spread the archive links and future show details with your friends and family around the internet. We want to connect with as many of you as possible, so please share that link. Facebook, share it, tweet it. We need your help in letting the world know the goodness and the light that we have to offer. Be sure to visit PsychicBloggers.com to learn about everything related to metaphysics and spiritual matters for free. Everything from tarot reading to soulmate seeking to reincarnation to developing your own psychic abilities, it's there. PsychicBloggers.com. Spread the word. If you need a reading from the best professional psychics on the net, go to PsychicAccess.com, where you'll find the best verified and accuracy-tested psychics, each with their own unique gifts. Every psychic has a detailed profile for you to discover more about her or him. You can choose from a list of some of the most authentically gifted psychics around. It's an honor working with Doug and the Psychic Access team because of the high ethics and high expectations required of each psychic. All the co-hosts here on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com work at Psychic Access. And if you'd like a detailed personal reading from any one of us, be sure to visit us at PsychicAccess.com. We'd love to hear from you. New registrants get a free 6-minute reading, so be sure to take advantage of that. By the way, site owners, webmasters, you can earn 50 cents per minute. 50 cents per minute on every reading for traffic that's referred to PsychicAccess.com. For more details, visit PsychicAccess.com/webmasters. If you like the show, and we hope that you do, invite your friends to join us in our chat room. We want all of you to listen to the Psychic Viewpoint. There is something for everyone. So please spread the word. We very much appreciate it. Okay, Steve, that's all I got for right now. Man, we can do some banter if you'd like.
I'd love to. Love to. I think it's great to discuss the tarot. I know that all of us are very, very interested in the tarot deck. But I want to start with Maureen, Stephen, if you don't mind.
Of course.
Maureen, there's a lot of debate, isn't there, about the history of tarot.
Yeah.
And I've never really bought into the theory that it began in the 14th or 15th century in Italy. This theory that, you know, it was a deck of cards used to play a game, and it then was used to provide readings. I much prefer and the theory that it goes back to Egypt and even beyond. What's your view?
Well, I agree with you on that. In fact, I was just recently, you know, because I did, in 1988, I believe it was, I've mentioned it before, I did a instructional audio tape back then with a book, little booklet and a deck of tarot cards, packaging them. It was a new thing. But I wrote up a really brief history. I was looking at it the other night because things have changed the way I feel from when I was 28 years old or something like that. So I'm a little bit older now. But, you know, it's interesting because I was looking about what I had written about at the time, about what I felt. And what I did write, which I did appreciate this when I looked at it, because it's like I do feel it's important that we have some type of idea about the history. But what I felt at the time, and I still hold by this, is their origin has never been fully explained. It's like there's been such a quite long history, and what I put in this little booklet that I wrote, I was just writing a brief history, and it talks about if supposedly the appearance of the 14th century came into the question about it. But as I wrote about it, it came to their popularity increased, I don't know what time of century when it originally came, but in certain time periods, as they did, when the political and religious issues were going on at the time, they were forbidden and banned. They were threatened, and that was in the European countries. So that's a really the way I view it is there's so much. Steve, I'm open to all of this. I don't know, of course, because there's so much I've heard since then. But I do get at some certain timelines. Whatever history is talked about it, the one thing I do know or I feel strongly about is that there was a time, I think they were, you know, long before they were around, but at one time when they were banned. I do feel when all the religious and the Roman, in the Catholics, what year would that have been? Was it 13th or 14th? 14th century, I think.
I don't know off the top of my head. I'd have to check.
Something like that. But I do feel because the political leaders at the time or whatever were threatened by these interesting somewhat they looked at it as religious. That's, I think when the Rome, you know, the Catholics took over and the pagans, you know, submitted to being Catholicism. But yeah, things that people on here, it's opened my eyes to a lot of things. I don't use the word believe. All I know is what I know, and I don't know enough about how far, and I'm open to it. I think
it would be great if we could just have a conversation with the source. You know, if we could just interview the source and ask all these questions. So
maybe
tell us about the origin.
Maybe we can conjure up something on our own to have the source. Well, you can do that. You can put some conjuring up. You're right, because it is so fascinating and about some of the things. I don't know what you feel about it. It kind of I don't get overwhelmed by it, but I find it absolutely fascinating. So I feel it can go way beyond whatever people said. Well, way beyond has been with Egypt. Isn't that what it's actually the farthest?
I believe it goes far beyond that.
I absolutely am on board with that with you too, but I can't articulate it.
And the other thing, Maureen, is, well, Stephen, weigh in on this, but the other thing is I was reading a really interesting book by Albert Benjamin, and that's the real name of C.C. Zane. So C.C. Zane wrote The Church of Light Material, but that was his pen name, and his real name is Albert Benjamin. And I was reading his book, Astrological Lore of All Ages, and somewhere in there it said something like, you know, it's not as though all of the Egyptians were these perfect spiritual beings and that all of the pharaohs were absolute role models. It seems that the person that was is Akhenaten. So apparently Akhenaten is the one that was very, very evolved spiritually, and I think that we just presume that Egypt was perfect, wasn't it? But certainly I believe that the roots of metaphysics, of hermetics, go back way beyond Egypt. Well, Stephen, what's your view on the origins?
Well, you know what? I'm pretty much with Maureen, and just about every cartomancer, every card reader, every authority on the tarot would pretty much also be with Maureen. No one really knows, and the reason I think that is because the tarot, at least the way I see it, or my opinion about it, the way I use it, it's more like an adapter, you know, like something, let's say you have a set of headphones, and then, you know, you have an MP3 player or whatever, and you know, the headphones don't fit it, you have to buy an adapter. You know, the tarot is an adapter, meaning it bridges the gap between astrology, numerology, and other occult disciplines and technologies, and the quarant. And I think the unique characteristic of the tarot is its power to blend. And I think that in this respect, in the sense that it blends different occult technologies, it goes beyond Egypt into a much older civilization, that of Babylon. It goes back to Babylonia, and this is just my opinion on the matter. But what, the long and short of it is that we're dealing with an ancient tradition, and it's being applied to modern problems. It's being applied in a modern format. Obviously, in ancient Babylon and even in Egypt, the format, the medium of the card, didn't exist. Papyrus is too flimsy to be used as a card, and the Babylonians they had cuneiform. You can't play. Can you imagine playing a hand of poker or bridge with cuneiform tablets? You know, clay tablets. It's just impractical. And so, most of tarot's history in Europe really picks up, like Maureen pointed out, 13th, 14th century ish. And I think the earliest deck we have belonged to an Italian count named Count Sforza. And they were used, apparently, according to the historians, they were actually used for games. And you know what? As a tarot card reader, I don't think that approach is entirely wrong, do you see? I mean, it's certainly not a game to the querent, but, you know, there's something, I don't know, it's just something elusive and ephemeral about the tarot. But does it work? It works frighteningly well, and especially the Egyptian tarot deck of the Brotherhood and the Brotherhood of Light system of interpreting tarot. I've used a lot of decks, but as soon as I discovered this deck, I set the rest of them to the side.
Well, Stephen, tell us briefly, what's the difference? In your words, what is the difference between that Egyptian tarot deck system?
The astrological... The astrological associations, they're okay. Totally different. With your Rider Waite deck and the Thoth deck and some of the more popular decks, a lot of these decks, they originate from these secret so-called secret societies, like the Golden Dawn. And these secret societies, due to their vows of secrecy, they're obligated to make some changes to these associations. Do you see what I mean? And so the astrological associations of the Brotherhood of Light deck, they're purer. They are much purer to the original source, and also I like it because it's divorced from the Kabbalah. The Egyptian tarot does not use the Kabbalah, if at all, I don't think. And to me, I think that makes a difference when you incorporate the Kabbalah into tarot, as the Rider-Waite deck does, as the Thoth deck does, as many Hermetic decks do. I don't think that's appropriate for many practical solutions to practical problems. But the Kabbalah is, I think, a little bit too lofty to deal with tangible everyday problems.
It's really interesting. I really find the astrological correspondences very useful, Stephen. But so strictly speaking, you can use another deck. I teach my students the Church of Light astrological correspondences, but I encourage them to use the Rider-Waite deck to begin with, because I think that the images are very useful for them.
Yes. I can get the same results probably from a regular deck of playing cards now, because one beautiful thing I've learned from the Sacred Tarot by C.C. Zane, which is the underpinning of this entire deck, is that it relies also on numerology. For example, the whole concept of tarot reversals, that whole domain, which has been a thorn in the side of tarot readers for ages. The Brotherhood of Light has a very elegant and sophisticated way of dealing with reversals. Okay, what you do is you interpret the reversed card, you use its planetary association, and you interpret it as being in a harsh aspect, perhaps a square or an opposition to certain of the other cards in the spread. This is an innovation that I have not seen in other decks. Also,
it makes it really simple to understand reversals as well, doesn't it?
It does make it simple to understand reversals, because you don't have to invert the meaning of the card. You judge the reversal as sort of like an energy level of the card's conventional meaning. Now, other decks, such as the Thoth deck, I'm mistrustful of that deck because it originated from the mind of someone who had a really serious problem with drugs, Aleister Crowley. As an occultist, I've discounted Aleister Crowley.
Stephen, when I was a kid, I'm going to have to ask Maureen about him because very fond of Crowley. But I tell you, when I was a kid, I was probably about 9 years old, and I got some Aleister Crowley books, and I felt revolted. I just didn't want to look at them.
Well, I mean, as an academic, as a scholar of occult history and myth, the man is unparalleled. He had an insane grasp of the world's different cultures, but as a spiritual person, unfortunately, like I said, he has to be discounted because of his various addictions to extremely serious substances.
Satanism. He was Satan. Yeah.
He was a dark guy.
And, yeah, he was.
You know, his deck, consequently, the Thoth deck, is also dark. Even if you ask a question, for example, oh, you know, is my daughter going to be able to sell her quota of Girl Scout cookies this year? You know, and if you try to answer that with a Thoth deck, you know, it's going to bring in a whole bunch of negative and dark energies on the matter. So it's inappropriate.
Yeah. Dark. I have always avoided it. Maureen, what's your view on Crowley?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I was, you know, you saw what I put in there for us, our ears, eyes only. And, you know, I got that, you know, I learned on the Aquarian deck, which is very odd. Like I said, I wasn't planning on ever reading, but usually the Rider-Waite deck, like you said, you know, when you're teaching or doing workshops, that's the most traditional deck to kind of get people and, you know, get a grip on it or grasp hold of it. But the Crowley deck, I purchased after, you know, professionally going into this. It was in the early 90s. And I thought, you know, I knew he was pretty intense. I thought, okay, wow. So I went and bought this deck, and I was sick. I was literally sick. I was sick, and I felt the energy of me was not right. And I paid attention to it because during that time, you know, it's like, actually I missed that time, but it was really a weird time too, uncomfortable. But like Stephen said something, I couldn't read from them, nor did I want to. I almost felt like they just, you know, like I feel we're colored by our environment. You walk into a room and there's not a really great person in there, or maybe there's someone that you're feeling. It just sucked me into some negativity, and I touched him. I know it sounds odd. Well, not to me, it doesn't. You guys probably don't think so, but I burned them, as a matter of fact.
Okay. I understand. As I said, I felt just, I felt really uncomfortable just as a kid. As I said, I was 9 when I got some Aleister Crowley books, and I got rid of them. I just felt, no, there's something not right about this.
It's a direct reflection on who he was. And even looking, if you look at him, he's, and I'm able to look beyond appearances. I'm not just saying because of his, but if you look at him, but even through him, even his outside appearance, but also through him, it's just not, there's something off there. And I do feel that, you know, he was a recreational drug user, experimenter. That's fine and dandy. But he was the main thing. He was a wicked man of the world. He really was.
Yeah. Well, do Maureen, tell us, which is your favorite deck?
You know, I've been using the same – well, not the same one I bought. You know, of course, you know, they wear out. Hanson Roberts' deck. And the reason why I love her deck is, first of all, they're smaller. For me, I like the smaller. And – I love the way her artwork. A lot of the decks have a lot about the interpretation of art. There, some, you know, like for instance, in the tower card the tower card in my deck. Usually, some of the tower decks, well, depending, they could show nothing of the sort of anything, but the traditional ones will show two people, you know, falling down. Mine shows one person, and it's just her colors and her way, and I just adore that deck. So I've stayed with that deck this whole time. What do you use, Steve? What deck do you use, or do you?
I like the Rider-Waite deck.
Right.
And I also have, I've got a lot of decks, but the ones I use tend to be the Rider-Waite deck. And I like the Church of Light deck. I've got it right next to me here, the Egyptian Tarot. I love that one as well.
Yeah, I'd like to research, like I said, during my time, it wasn't, there weren't a lot of decks. There were just so many. Now there's so many, 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 many. Some of the ones are so silly, but, yeah, they are. Some of them, you know, I don't. Whatever.
There are some. I saw one that was the Jelly Bean deck.
Okay, yeah. Hello Kitty. I don't know.
The Hello Kitty deck, yeah.
I think I read somewhere there are like a million tarot decks now.
It's amazing. From the 80s into what time period is now, how many came out? Because I used to deal with U.S. games. I used to buy thousands of dollars worth of the Aquarian. There was another one I used to use. Gosh, I like that one. And I stopped packaging my audio course with it eventually. But during that time, so U.S. Games is one of the biggest ones for all the decks. And honestly, they did not, compared to how much has changed, they've added billions. Billions.
They have. Well,
I'll tell you what, guys. If you don't mind, I'd like to go ahead and throw out the call-in number, if that's okay.
Yes, go ahead.
All right. Let's go ahead and get that number out there. It's 724-444-4851. I'm going to repeat that for you. It's 724-444-4851. Now, when you call, you're going to be automatically placed on hold, and we're going to answer all calls in the order that they're received. So you might have to wait a little bit. You'll be able to hear the show while you wait. Once you get on the line, we can only take one question from you. This is in the interest of fairness to everybody else. So please restrict your call to one question. Make it a sharp, focused question, and you'll get a better answer. So one more time, that number is 724-444-4851. And what do you know? I do believe I have a call from Louisiana. Hi, Louisiana.
Hello.
How are you doing this evening?
I'm doing good.
Well, how may I help you?
Well, my name is Kiera, and I was just wondering if you like seeing any possible relationships in the future for me. I've been single for a little while.
Okay, been single for a while, and you would like to know if there's some romance coming your way. Am I correct?
Yeah, I guess so.
Okay, let's see what's coming her way in terms of romance. One second. What can she expect in terms of romance? Let's actually go over the next 6 months here and just see what it's going to be looking like for you, okay?
Okay.
6 months. There we go. So, one second. Let me just see if... I have reason to believe that within the next 4 weeks, I'm not going to say if, you know, it's going to be like a marriage potential, but you're definitely going to be having some romantic activity within the next 4 weeks, okay? This is shown by the Four of Cups. Now, the number four, the numerology of four, is such that it refers to something being born and becoming real, tangible, touchable. So this isn't going to be, something that's just online or something that's unsatisfactory to you. The Four of Cups tells me that within the next 4 weeks, you're going to actually have real contact with a real human being for real romance. I would expect things to go well probably for the next 3 months. Let's see, what is it now? Late June, July, July, August to September, right on through the summer. However, I think once we get past the summer into autumn, there could be perhaps a change in fortune in that relationship. So,
okay.
Do you see? So to answer your question, is love coming your way? I have strong reason to believe that it is. number one. Mm-hmm. But just because it's coming doesn't mean it's going to last forever. And so what that means is that now that you're armed with this information in advance, you can know that, hey, the water is going to kind of get shallow. Things are going to get a little rougher towards the end of the summer, maybe around autumn time. And you can take steps to make sure that doesn't happen. But to answer your question, right, I would expect probably within the next 4 to 6 weeks or so where your love life is going to pick up significantly.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Oh, yes, ma'am. Thank you for listening, and thank you for calling in. I hope you have a good one, and I wish you all the best.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am. Okay, I do believe now we have a caller from Florida for Maureen.
Thank you. Hello, Florida. This is Maureen.
Hello.
Hi. May I have your name, please?
Yeah, my name is Lisa.
Hi, Lisa, and what can I help you with?
I was wanting to know about my finances. I'm kind of expecting some changes to happen. I want in a positive way, and I wanted to know when you see those coming and when you see me like relocating, moving house, things like that.
Okay, so you're in the middle. So what you're saying is already stuff is happening that you've put out there, and it's not like you're just waiting for something to knock on your door, right? So you're waiting to see.
No.
Okay, got it.
No.
I know I'd ask. Sometimes we all kind of.
Ed McMahon, just kidding.
Oh, Ed McMahon's coming to my place too on June 30th. You know, we're both kidding. Okay. All right.
Yeah, right.
But you never know. It's funny you bring that up because I was talking about that. Okay. Well, this is what I'm getting. Wow. I see a man surrounding this reading, and I see you moving in a really good direction. I see you really heading towards, you're already doing it, but really you're heading on the path of complete control of your life. There is a gentleman here that it looks like a business or opportunity, someone that has capital, an investment banker, he may not be that, but that type of energy that he has money to back. I also feel that it's right now, it's your time to really show what you got going on as far as your creativity of work. Are you following me on that?
Yeah, I am.
Okay. Yeah. So whatever you're doing, you're heading in a great place. Yeah, I don't know. You didn't ask about. I do see two other individual men that are younger. One looks like he's very flighty, noncommittal, but they're both kind of coming into your space. I see you heading in a direction, and I do see you. If you're not living in this type of energy, I'm looking at this around September month, and it appears like I see you outside, being able to be outside with a lot of cool. I see you loving being outside. If you're able to do some work outside, but I do see a building of a new location also, but also spending time outside. I see flowers. I know I go off the deep end on colors of flowers, purple, but interesting though. I mean, really? I mean, but then you can listen to this again. It might make sense. But I also see, are you single?
Yes.
Okay. I do see you moving or relocating, but is it not too far away? Are you looking for?
I don't know. See, I'm supposed to get a settlement, and once I get the settlement, then everything will change for me, and I'll be able to make my life different and move and make changes. You know what I mean?
Okay, well then I'm glad you brought that up. And you might have said that in the beginning. I didn't hear that. You probably did say settlement, and I heard Ed McMahon. Anyway, no. You know, this settlement that may have a lot to do with this older, authority money guy and banker guy could very well represent.
Yeah.
Like I said, I see this and I see you heading in that direction in September. And this is really deserving for you, if anybody. I know everybody would deserve to have this, but for you, it's going to give you the opportunity. I just feel to really do. It's like I see you really being able to be. It's like I see you wanting to work, but in your doing what you passionately love.
Yeah.
You love being outside. I see a home-like situation where it's of your, but it feels so positive and where you exactly do your best work. And so there must be something that you would love to do and you're creative. This is going to be
how you kept saying that you saw two men?
Yeah,
younger. I have a crush on two younger men. Like, I like both of them, and I can't make a decision. It's
okay,
kind of,
you know, I'll tell you this much. One guy looks a little flighty, but he's really great. He's really full of energy, loves life. He wants to just, like, have a great time. But he can be noncommittal. But he's very nice on the eyes, too. And his eyes look very cool. They're like a greenish color, it looks like. Then there's this other one.
Yeah.
And then there's this other one who looks like he's a completely opposite energy. He's more like okay, he looks like he's more like in the militant energy. I'm not saying he's a military, but that's the kind – he's a little forceful, well, aggressive, assertive, whatever. On a bad day, though, he could be raging. I don't see that happening, but he would be more difficult to deal with. He always likes to tell people what to do. He'd like to – he just likes to take control. This other one, I don't know. This other one, like I said, the greenish eyes, and he's full of life, and he's a little flirtatious with the others, but that's his way. He would be a lot more fun, I feel, if you're just getting to know them. I would just kind of stick with that one if you could. Just saying.
But that's probably the one I'll end up sticking with for sure.
Yeah.
Because he's not really making the effort to come forward towards me, and I've been kind of hanging back waiting for that.
Well, I see two of them actually can pursue you, but I do feel that the other one with the greenish, you know, not the militant one, the other one. I feel that would be more in the energy for you. It's just warmer, and it's excitement for life, and and you don't need a man. You don't really need a man at all. I can see here, but things are going to be really well for you. And it's not going to be long from now. I see September. It's fantastic. I'm really happy for you. You deserve it.
Thank you. I've been through a lot of very difficult times in my life, and you know, very, very emotionally.
Yeah, I can see that. And good for you. Bless your heart. I'm happy for you. Call back sometime and let us hear how things are going, Lisa, okay?
Okay, so do you think September is the month that I'm getting my settlement?
I see you really heading it, yes, by September. You're
okay, wow, that
yes.
is really soon, Maureen.
I know, but you never know. I'm just saying, I know I could be wrong. I could be off, but I'm just picking up, you could be right. Yeah, so I'm picking up on the month of September. It's going to be very active, very eventful.
Thank you so much.
Okay. You're welcome, Lisa. Take care. Thanks for calling.
Bye.
What a wonderful reading. Thank you so much, Maureen. You can get a reading from Maureen if you need one at psychicaccess.com. Call Maureen. She will definitely help you out. Now we have a caller from New Jersey for Steve.
Thank you, Stephen. Who's calling from New Jersey?
Hello.
Carolyn. Hi there.
Carolyn.
Hello, Carolyn. How are you doing?
Hi, I'm great.
Good.
My question is, I'm seeing a guy who lives in another state. Do you see marriage between us? You see us getting married?
Do I see marriage? Let me see. Let's have a look. Honestly, I don't. I feel like you've got a good connection. I feel like it's going well, but I don't feel that you will choose to marry each other. I feel like it's one of those relationships that's good for now. It's what you need, but I don't see you relocating or him relocating. And I feel that to rush into the prospect of marriage, or to presume or think that it would lead to marriage, would potentially disappoint you. So, as I said, I feel like it's a nice relationship. I don't feel like you need to end the relationship, but I just don't feel that it will lead to marriage.
Yeah.
What do you feel?
I was hoping that it would lead to marriage.
Okay. How much time have you spent together?
We haven't seen each other since April. He lives in another state and works at night, and I work during the day.
Okay. Yeah, well, let me see, because I can see that the situation's a bit jumbled. Let me see. Now, again, you see, I don't feel that it will end in marriage. That's what the cards are saying to me, Carolyn. And, you know, I trust what they show me. They're not showing me a problematic picture. I don't feel it's a bad relationship or you're making a mistake being involved in this relationship. I just don't feel that it ultimately leads to
marriage. And that's what the cards show me.
Okay. All right.
We wish you lots of luck, Caroline.
Yes.
Take care.
Hello? Okay. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much for calling, Carolyn, and thank you, Steve, for that excellent reading. If you'd like a reading from Steve, please visit him at psychicaccess.com. And now I have a caller from Virginia. Hello, Virginia. How are
you?
Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
How can I help you?
Okay. I broke up with my boyfriend, Jeremy, the 8th of this month, which actually is my birthday, because I felt like I had to due to the circumstances that were going on, and we were together for about 2.5 years. We would have celebrated our 3rd anniversary this August, and my question is, I just wanted to know if you saw us, like, reconciling, him reaching out to me, that kind of thing.
Okay, one second while I pick up on your situation, okay?
Okay.
You know, I'm inclined to say that there will indeed be a reconciliation. I think that this, this game is going to go into extra innings. You know, I have to tell you, in the course of my career, I see this a lot of times. People, sometimes they break up, and the breakup is just sort of like an emergency type of gesture. It's a radical way of saying, hey, I'm not happy. Something needs to be fixed here, and they don't really mean it. And I'm inclined to think that this is one of those situations. So I judge that indeed there will be a getting back together. However, I'm not inclined to say that this is going to be a permanent reconciliation, because the problems, I think the underlying problems, will still not be resolved unless you force that issue. Do you see what I'm driving at here? What I'm worried about is that there will be some nostalgia at play here. Maybe some he'll start missing the more positive aspects of the relationship. And at some point, pretty soon, something will cause him to reach out to you. Probably driving past places where you guys used to go. Probably, again, some important date like the anniversary in August. Something's going to arouse his nostalgia, and he'll reach out. And you're probably going to be very inclined to take him back with open arms. This would be a mistake, because if you do that, then you're just going to set up a future breakup. What has to happen is you have to troubleshoot the underlying cause for the original breakup. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yes, absolutely.
Yes, ma'am, because if you don't do that, because I can totally understand the impulse. You want to just go ahead and get back on track, so the impulse is just to jump right back in there. But what I really do believe is vital to find out exactly why this breakup happened in the first place. But to answer your question, I'm quite confident that you guys will get back together. When? Maybe a couple of weeks, maybe a couple of months. What I'm absolutely positive about is that you guys will get back together. In the meantime, you know, probably it's best not to blow up his cell phone or his inbox or anything. What you want to do is to give him space and time to miss you. Do you see what I'm driving at here?
Absolutely. We haven't spoken since the 8th, and then the last time he tried to talk to me, he sent me a text the 11th that had gone unanswered, and I just see him at the gym, and that's it. We don't even speak to each other, so I haven't even reached out to him at all.
Yeah, at some point he's going to get nostalgic, and he's probably going to get a little bit jealous too, thinking about, oh my gosh, is she seeing someone yet, or something of that nature. And so I do expect him to come back to you. However, once that happens, I really feel pretty strongly that there might, you might go into overdrive working to keep the relationship happy. You might be bending over backwards to keep the relationship healthy, quote unquote. So you want to watch out for that. Okay, try to get at the underlying causes of the breakup, and you improve your chances of making it stick. Okay.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you so much.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you for calling. Have a wonderful week.
You too.
Yes, ma'am. Okay, we have a caller from New Jersey for Maureen.
Thank you, Stephen. Hello, New Jersey.
Hi, Maureen.
Hi, may I have your name, please?
Maureen, this is Deborah.
Hi, Deborah.
My daughter is better. She's better, thank God. What I wanted to know is, do you see me getting that transfer that I've been trying to get, and my family reuniting from Maryland to New Jersey? It seems like that's in the plan, but today I found out that the command may not allow me to do the van back and forth, which is 2.5 hours that the government helped me pay. for. I'm trying to get my family together, hoping maybe going back to New Jersey or closer to Maryland. Do you see any of that, or the transfer to New Jersey? Do you see any of that?
are you in the military? Is that what are you?
I'm a civilian working for the military.
Got it. Okay, I understand. I was asking
government work. You know, if I was a soldier, I wouldn't have to worry about any of this. They would give it to me.
Yeah,
but I'm trying to go to an Air Force base in New Jersey, which is closer to my home, versus 2.5 hours back and forth every day.
Okay, this is what I'm getting. You know, I absolutely see a family coming back. It's almost like family honor, all coming back together. I'm going to ask you something, because we all have this intuition stuff. We all have psychic ability. We all have it. We're born with it.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why I'm going to ask you is, do you honestly, when you're, you know, closing your eye, or just for when you have a moment, can you psychically, your inner voice, pick up on, yes, you can see yourself, visually see it, not just in a dream? Okay, pay attention to that, because I do feel very strongly that even without me saying it, it's like, absolutely, like I said, I just see the whole, if you didn't ask this question in the way you did, I'd say to you right away, if you didn't ask me, I'd say I see a family reunion, people coming back together. So because your question was about living, yes, I do. Now, I wanted to ask you, did you try to do this in March? Had you been trying to get to, and it didn't work out?
Trying to get the transfer?
Yeah, where you wanted to get back to where you're asking me a question about it right now. Had you been, you know, it had been unsuccessful, or trying to start? I'm just asking for a reason, because it's like, in some ways, it looks like it could have been a delay, or that it wasn't the right timing, or something went on. So go on.
You mean as far as the job or the transfer?
Well, both, I guess it would be, because the transfer is part of the job.
I applied for a compassionate transfer that I thought would be automatic, and it just didn't happen.
Okay.
And yes, it was around that time, March, I think, March, April. I've just been trying. So I had gotten to the point where I said, forget it. They have vans going back and forth every day. I applied for that. Because the transfer, it seemed to be like stalemate. They're not even trying to interview me. And then I went to the congressman. That didn't work. They didn't respond to me. So I'm trying now to go back and forth, and I was told today I paid for my van, the ride back and forth, I got my voucher, and then they're saying, well, they might not approve my schedule change to do the van ride. And I'm like, are you serious? Because first they didn't have a place for us to move to, now they do. Everything is falling together except for this.
You know, doesn't that just frustrate you? It's like... Why can't life? It's not even. You don't even need a perfect world, but why can't people make it a little bit more? I mean, come on. I do absolutely see you're going to get. There is absolute justice for you in this, and it's favorable. Anything to do with anything, for instance, justice is what you're looking for here. You just want to be closer to the family, and I get it. I do feel that you've made this decision. You've been making this decision for quite a while, and it wasn't a rash. You've been trying to – you've shown – I don't see any problem. I don't feel that it's going to be – this is going to happen this time around. As far as the time frame goes, I'm looking at within – I'm just saying this, I could be wrong, but within the next 10 weeks, there's going to be some activity with this. I'm not saying you have to wait 10 weeks, but there's some really positive stuff that's going to be happening that you're going to see, that your psychic intuition I was talking about is right on. I do see the family connecting and staying. It's not like you're just having a reunion, you go away from each other. It's kind of complete coming together. I also feel that there's going to be some generosity in your work. I see you and somebody else getting, there's someone being more generous about compensation. It's really good. One thing I want to tell you, though, when you do get to where you want to be, and I do see it being very positive, is exactly where you want to be. Be very careful not to go back into the same old stuff of you not getting the credit where it's deserving. It seems like somebody else always gets the credit and acknowledged, but you don't.
Yes, that is so true, Maureen. That
so
true.
That's something that you would need to work on. But I do feel that this time it's going to flow through, and I do see it. It's not like you're just wishful thinking, wish fulfillment. It absolutely is going to happen. Just kind of hang in there.
I'm trying.
I know, but it is just hang in there and keep that connection with what you feel is a vision. Yes, it's going to happen. I see really positive things, and let us know how you do. Okay.
I will. Thank you so very much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you very much. If you would like a reading with Maureen, please visit her at psychicaccess.com. Now we have a caller from Washington State for Steve.
Thank you. Who's calling from Washington State?
Hi.
Hi there. What's your name?
Michelle.
Hello, Michelle. How are you doing?
I'm great. How about yourself?
I'm good, thank you, Michelle. I'm very good. How can we help you?
I have a question about my finances. I'm curious about if I'm going to be able to get a loan soon.
Yes. As you ask that question, I get the Page of Pentacles that fell out of the deck when I was shuffling the cards. And intuitively, before that happened, I felt like we're talking about 3-4 months. So I feel like you've got to be patient. It's not going to just resolve itself overnight. But you will be okay financially. You will make it. And, you know, the page actually represents, well, some people say that it's a young person, and that's certainly the case in some circumstances. But I feel like the pages bring a message, and we talk about the certain cards in that way. If you think of a page, you know, a page would assist and deliver messages, and so I see this as a good sign for you. I see that your finances will improve, money will come your way, and you've just got to be patient. And actually, beyond that, I feel that your business or your career is really going to do well. I feel like you've been very, very patient and responsible in the way you've managed your situation. But we've got wonderful cards for you in the future. I've got the World card here, which is an absolutely wonderful card of opportunity. And I feel like you'll do extremely well. So you just got to hang in there. Don't give up. You'll be fine.
Okay.
I feel like intuitively, I would say to October is very significant for you. If you look, actually, if you look at your family records or ask in the family, you'll find that there's a lady in spirit who was born or passed in the month of October, and I get that very specifically, and I also get the initial M. Ask about this lady, because she's watching you, and she's somebody that had to be resilient, that had to persevere, and I feel that same theme with you. You will be fine. Just hang in.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. You're welcome. Good luck to you. Wish you all the best.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Thank you very much. And if you would like a reading with Steve, please find him at psychicaccess.com. I have a caller from Kansas. Hello, Kansas. How are you?
Yes, hello.
Hello. How may I help you this evening?
Hi, my name is Andy, and I had a question. I tell you, I'm just kind of exhausted with so many things going on around me and mm-hmm. being in school, and I'm just wondering if you see anything calming down anytime soon.
Andy, I'll be happy to help you with that. Okay, let's just take a survey of the next half year and just to sort of get a grip on what's going to be happening. Okay, now what we're about to talk about isn't so much written in stone. It's just a statement of how things are likely to evolve. You can always intervene on what I'm about to say and change it, okay?
Okay.
This is just what's going to happen if you let the situation, if you let your life just sort of unfold without any intervention. Next month, I would expect next month to be very busy. But when I say next month, we're starting from today, June the 19th. So June the 19th to July the 19th. Actually, June 19th all the way through August 19th, actually all the way through September 19th are probably going to be busy. They're probably going to be difficult. In fact, I don't see you getting any significant rest until right around the end of August, maybe mid-September-ish.
Yeah.
But boy,
okay.
Is it going to be a great rest, because after that, once we get around the Halloween season perhaps, I see, in fact, that you're going to be much more imaginative, you're going to, I think you're going to be much more emotionally tranquil. At least that's what I'm hoping. And certainly after that, I do see things are going to be calming down. So I would say right on up until about August to September, I would expect things to be, you know, fairly difficult. Especially the big fly in the ointment to me, as far as I'm concerned, would be June to July, July to August. August 19th to September 19th. I think that your attitude about life in general is going to be pretty kind of like, bleh, you know what I mean? Just tired, fed up. I think you're going to be worried and anxious. But the month after that, I see you're going to be getting relief, and I expect the relief to continue on from there. You see, but if I were you,
is there a particular area that jumps out for difficulty in the next couple of months?
Yes, ma'am. I'm thinking they're going to be revolving around earthy types of things, like perhaps money, perhaps career, or health. This is some of those issues. And I'm actually thinking more along finances, because most of the energies I'm picking up on for the next 3 months seem to be financial in general. Now the next month is a bright spot. I do judge it to be busy, but I also judge it to be fortunate as well. Okay, July 19th, right on up to about August 19th, I expect it to be fortunate. The really hard part is going to be August 19th to September 19th, and I think there's going to be some anger, perhaps some conflict with other people. What I'm picking up on for that month in general is basically the topography of your thoughts. You know, not no specific thoughts, but just the general run of your thoughts. I expect them to be critical, worried, and around the general topic of money and career, more than likely. But it's not restricted to those topics. It could be personal. It could be there could be another person, because, you know, I see also the 2 months prior to that, going from now to about, you know, going from now to August 19th, they do seem to be financially finances do seem to be emphasized, but that could just as easily be construed as personal relationships with other people. Do you know what I mean? Especially sure. As it pertains to getting money. So we could translate this easily as coworkers or clients or whatever sorts of business partnerships you may have with people. And I expect them to be fairly stressful. And again, the highlight, or perhaps better said, the low light would probably be August 19th to September 19th. But the good news is that after that, things pick up. And please don't forget my opening comments here. You're not bound to have a terrible month that month. Sure. You can prepare for it, perhaps. I don't really know how. It seems like the stresses will probably be sort of evolving naturally out of the, you know, your life situation. But if there's any solace to be had here, it's in the fact that after that month, things will be significantly improving. And in fact, July 19th to August 19th, I also judge that to be quite fortunate in matters of money. I just think you're going to be wrung out when it's all said and done with. It's almost as if there's a process that's happening right now, and that it's going to culminate in the middle of August, and that it's going to be sort of leaving you wrung out. And then everything after that, from right on up to about Christmas or so, I see that as being sort of recuperative in nature. Do you know what I mean, Andy?
Excellent. Thank you so much.
Oh, yes, ma'am. Thank you very much for calling. And I wish you all the best with whatever you got going on in your life. And I can, you know, just like that Donna Raynor song from the 70s goes, you know, you will survive. I see that quite clearly. Okay?
Yes, absolutely. Thanks again.
Wonderful. Yes, ma'am. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Let's see here. We have a caller for Maureen from Massachusetts.
Thank you, Steve. Hello, Massachusetts.
Hello. Hi, hello. Maureen.
Oh, hi. There you are. Hi. May I have your name, please?
My name is Steve.
Steve. Hi, Steve. How are you? Another Steve. I think I've spoken to you before. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
And what can I help you with this evening?
Do you have any messages for me from my grandfather and my mother?
Okay, so your grandfather or your mother? Is this her father, your grandfather?
My grandfather is my mother's father.
Father, yeah, her father? Okay.
Right.
All right. You know, this is what I'm getting. Did you try to really fuse with your mother before she, I always like to say, I don't like to say passed on, before she died, I mean, was it difficult for you to connect with her for whatever reasons?
Yes, because okay. we were away from each other.
You were what?
We were away from each other. We were
okay.
Different.
Yeah, and you know, I feel that even though this is, I'm not saying this is the truth or the real thing, but because of it, I feel that you've kind of like almost like in a way, because I can see her saying that in a way it would feel like she wasn't the nurturing mother that she should have been because you're away, but it's not, it wasn't that way at all. She felt your energy, even though I'm sorry, it's very sad. I don't feel that she wanted to she didn't plan to go that soon. Is that so?
Yes, you're ready for sudden.
Yeah, you know, so this is what I'm getting. It's like I just feel that she wants you to know. It's like what I'm getting from her. It's interesting because you ask it first of all. Second of all, I want to tell you something about your grandfather. Your grandfather, he looks like a very strong, cool guy, man who really had. Offered a lot of opportunity to people. I see his stature being very strong. I don't know what you remember him as when he died. You know, sometimes people are ill, but you'll remember certain things. But he looks like he was very much involved in your life. And was that so, Steve? Was he very involved? Was he really important?
No. Well, he was very important to me, but he was not involved in my life because we were in different places.
But was he inspiring to you about what you decided to do? It just looks like he's very, whether you're in different places, he still is so supportive about what you do. And I'm just feeling he's rising to the occasion to wanting you feel the energy of opportunity. Take anything opportunity and make it great and just be do the best you can and do everything. Embrace life. Enjoy it. And deal with the challenges, deal with everything. He just seems like his energy is so well grounded. Okay, your mother is I feel very sad because, not in a bad way, but sad. She wants you to know that you were really connected with her even though you weren't able to see her, because it does feel like it wasn't planned. Well, nothing's planned. You didn't have a chance to get to her and everything happened. And I'm also feeling like she's, when you close your eyes before you go to bed at night, I do feel that, I don't know if you've had any connection with them or felt anything, but I feel that you can ask for them, one or the other, to come into your dreams. It's almost like I call them visitation dreams. I'm not saying I believe in it. All I know is what I know. I know that I back this all the way with what I'm saying. They're not like just dreams of them. It's like having a connection in a dream, but it's almost like you have to deliberately ask for it. Have you had any connection? Have you felt their energy? You haven't felt much energy around them, have you? With them around,
yes.
You, like people talk about. They can,
yes,
feel this, they can feel that. Pardon,
yes,
me?
I have. They do come to me in my sleep.
Oh, they do. So you're really, yes, good at connecting with them. You know, I just feel your mom just really wants to get something clear to you because she doesn't feel that you know yet how much she's just right there with you and how much more than ever, even not even your sleeping state. But you're so fused together with her, and the grandfather figure is just so father figure-y and so proud and everything. So what messages I'm getting are so very positive. And then again, your mother feels sad that you've maybe felt upset because you didn't have a chance to, you know, literally before she went and packed up for the other side. I always call, when my dad left, I said he had a business meeting, went ahead of us. So I just feel that you have the opportunity, if you're able to do that, I mean, asking me for the messages, really, I think you're getting messages better than what I can even give you. But I see them to be quite positive, and I see you fusing very well, even in the life in the world, even if you were farther away. Did they,
yes,
die close? How long ago did each of them?
Well, my mom died about 20 years ago.
Uh-huh.
And my father about 8 years ago. My grandfather,
okay,
8 years ago.
They're
but
so
also,
very important. They're always, I mean, I just see, your mother looks like she gets a little bit disappointed. I feel she's saying, sometimes she's like, come on. But that's okay. I just feel that the grandfather is really, he's really instrumental in the direction you're taking with every area of your life. So if you've been having if you're going through any type of hard times or decision making right now, I would ask them to come into your dream or your dream state, your sleeping state. I see definitely that's the message. Whenever you want them, you're able to connect with them in a very great way. I mean, I admire that. Or I'm envious. I'm not envious, but I think it's really great you're able to have that. Yeah, and if you haven't had it recently, I would suggest
I'm her last child, and I wanted to take care of her. I wanted to be there for her. And she died at a very young age.
I know. And, that's so – and it breaks my heart that – but she knew that. It's okay. Yeah, and that's why I think that you need to sort through with her. Pardon me, Steve?
It's been 20 years and I'm still missing her.
That's okay. You know what? It's never going to stop. It doesn't matter, and I do know that just because I know. It doesn't matter how many years has gone by. It's like you're still a child. It doesn't matter. It's okay. And you still will always need her, whether she's here physically in our world or not. And that's – I feel that it's good to connect with her. And I would do it again really soon. And just have that relationship. Doesn't matter how 20 years. It doesn't matter if it was 2 years. Okay? Steve, okay. I hope I helped you. Thank you so much for calling.
Thank you.
Bless your heart. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you very much for calling, Steve. We wish you well, definitely. And thank you, Maureen, for your reading. You can find Maureen at psychicaccess.com. We have a caller from South Dakota for Steve.
Thank you, Stephen. Who's calling from South Dakota?
Hi, Steve. This is May. I have a question for you. I've been wondering about my son's layoff from his job. In the past, each time he's had a change of jobs or layoff, it was because of kind of a life or death situation, like his own health was, you know, really bad, and he didn't know it. And brother-in-law passed away, a father-in-law passed away, and now all of a sudden, you know, a surprise to him, and surprise to me, I have some intuition, and it was just a shock. And so I'm really, really, you know, on edge, wondering about what it was, a layoff this time. And so, you know, I told him, and it felt like it wasn't true. I told him, you know, this is for the good, you know, you know, it's for your own good, and there's something good going to come of it and stuff. And I just didn't feel like that was the truth. And now I've just been kind of on edge and wondering, you know, what's going on. So what is it that you see from this?
Okay, so you're asking me if the fact that he's been laid off is in any way an indicator of a health issue or a major problem in his life.
Or if it's just going to be something good for him, or, you know, what... why is it that he was laid off, you know?
Yeah, okay. I feel that he's going to be fine, actually. And to be honest with you, the first thing that comes to my mind, or the first thing that came to my mind when you were asking your question, is that he really needs some time to think. He's a great guy. He's a very sensitive, very caring, very loyal guy. But I don't feel that he was in the right line of work, to be honest with you. And I feel that the most important thing right now is that he really starts to think about the longer term and what he would really like to be doing, what his greatest talents are, what he enjoys most, what he's really passionate about in life, and considering how he can actually create a career from these things. So I the cards are saying this to me as well, that this is really an opportunity for him to think. He's got to start thinking. He's got to start generating ideas, and that's what needs to happen. I don't feel that he was unhappy in that role, and
I feel that he is going to find new opportunities. The card that comes up as the indicator of the near term is actually the Ace of Wands. And to me, that represents opportunities in one's work, one's career or business, because the Ace is the beginning. Number one, it's the start of something, the initiation. So I'm not seeing in the cards, and I don't sense that this is an indicator of a health problem. I feel it's pretty simple. The organization needed to lay people off. He's not the only person being laid off. And I feel that now he's got to take your initial advice and step back and say, well, why is this happening? You know, why does this not stick? And I really feel that the answer is, it's not actually what he's most passionate about. It's not what he would want to be doing for the rest of time. So I feel that you can really encourage him to think about what he wants to be doing. We've also got the Ace of Pentacles right on top of the Ace of Wands. That indicates that money is coming, that material reward is coming. So I feel that he's going to be okay. And I'm certainly not seeing in this spread of cards dreadful indicators about his well-being. So that's what I see for you. I feel, in honesty, it's going to take him a little while to find another opportunity. I feel like it's about four, maybe 5 months. But he needs to think about what it is he wants to be doing, what he really, really wants. And if he can do that, then I feel that things will work out well for him.
Okay. Because I guess one of his problems is that he gets stuck in a job. And then he's devastated when he has to move on. And I was really looking at the devastation for him, and you know, it just touched my heart. But
I know that
his skills are beyond that and so forth, and so I just have to keep what I know. And what I told him is, you know, this is your opportunity. You have to look at it as your opportunity. And so the fact is that of his mother-in-law, they moved his mother-in-law from Georgia over halfway across the United States to be with him, and then he has a job opportunity where he's going to have to move again. And so I was like, is this an opportunity for him, or is there something bad going to happen, or what's going on?
I feel he'll be fine. I don't feel something terrible for him. The best way to really thoroughly understand what's going on in his world and what's likely to come up is a really thorough review of his astrology. But you have to remember that no matter what the energies around us, what we're thinking, what we're focusing on, the way we view and approach a situation, the way we choose to experience a situation, that has an enormous bearing, the greatest bearing over the outcome. So you need to just have a chat with him and really encourage him, motivate him to start thinking about what he really wants to be doing in the world, because that wasn't it. It wasn't challenging enough for him, but he is the kind of guy that gets used to something, and because he hasn't got the higher self-esteem, he can stick with what he knows. And life's clearly not going to let that happen at this point. He's got so much to offer, and he needs to think about what he really wants to be doing with himself. So I feel that the opportunity is for you to really encourage him to go in the direction that would be best for him and that would be really exciting. He's never had a job that he feels really excited about. He's always very grateful for what he has. He's grateful for work. But ideally, we jump in the shower in the morning excited about our day because we do what we love. And that's what I desire for everybody, ideally. And I think that that's certainly the message you've got to get across to him.
Okay. Okay, sounds good. Thank you,
You're
Steve.
Welcome.
I appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Okay, good
luck.
Night. Have a good night. Bye-bye.
You too.
Thank you very much for that excellent reading, Steve. If you would like a reading from Hermetic Astrologer and Psychic Medium Steve Frampton, please visit him at psychicaccess.com. And now it's time for us to bid our farewells. We are finished with yet another truly brilliant and enlightening show. I'd like to thank Doug C., who works behind the scenes to provide this space for us all to congregate in and learn. Thank you, Doug. We couldn't do it without you. Big thanks also to my colleague Maureen and Steve Frampton for adding their special talent, their light, and their magic to the mix tonight. And thanks to you, the faithful listeners, for joining us this evening and every Thursday evening to make Psychic Viewpoint an awesome place to be. Steve, I do believe we're fortunate enough to have you presenting another guest next Thursday. What sort of psychic treat do you have planned in that brilliant brain of yours?
Well, we have Evans Bowen, who has literally just returned from Spain. She's been walking the Camino, visiting all of the pilgrim sites in Spain. And she's going to be telling us about that experience, but also telling us what she's learned on that pilgrimage and really drawing parallels between that experience and her other experiences in the Great Pyramid and the incredible sites in Egypt. So it will be a journey and a lot of fun.
Oh, lovely. Well, we can't wait for that. We got that planned for you guys next Thursday night. Do not miss it. Mark it on your calendar. And with that, I would like to say good night, everyone. From all of us to all of you, we wish you prosperity, health, and most of all, happiness. We'll see you next week.
Hello, my name is Res Miranda. If you're having relationship, career, or life issues, I'm inviting you to experience what it's like to have access to professional, highly accurate psychics and spiritual advisors you can trust to care and help you. Register now to get your free 6-minute reading by telephone or chat. Get answers. Get access. Psychic access. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Psychicaccess.com.
Girlfriend. She sounds better than...